powers of understanding. And so today we're going to look at four different things, four different people that the Bible calls a fool. And then we're going to look a little bit about what the different things about an is. And hopefully this morning you'll be able to get a blessing from the message. There's a lot of things we like to cover, so obviously we'll probably have to go a little quickly through it, but hopefully we'll have time to go through the entire chapter to help you look at some different things and see how it just progresses. A person that says, hey, I don't believe there is a God, there is no one we have to answer to, we all should live the way we feel like it, and we're just animals, just like everybody else is, just of a higher breed. There's issues with that, and there's problems with that, and the Bible teaches us that. But let's go ahead and begin this morning with a word of prayer. Lord, thankful for the people that are here. Lord, I know that some of the things that's found in this passage of Scripture, Lord, that you write about it, Lord, sometimes some people can consider it harsh, Lord, calling somebody foolish. But, Lord, as we look in your word, there's different individuals that you say are foolish or that are acting foolish. Speak to our hearts and make sure that we're not acting this way in any way, shape, or form, that we're not listening to those and taking advice from those that we would consider, that you would consider foolish. And also help us to see why our world is in such dire straits today, because there's groups of people that are saying, we believe that there is no God and we should be able to live whatever way we want. Help us to understand the Bible as our absolute authority, that we should live according to it and base our faith on it and what it tells us about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's go ahead and read the entire chapter of Psalms 53. It's only so it won't take us too long. Let's go ahead and read this, and then we'll start up this morning is what God says about fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now that is an atheist, a person who says that they do not believe there is a God, no existence of a God. It says, and now how does the Bible describe them? And this is what we're interested in today, how the Bible describes a fool. It's not what Pastor Pease says is a fool, but how the Bible at different spots say there is a fool. It says, corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they do eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were to come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Now, this short psalm here, if you went to Psalms chapter 14, it's almost exactly has it, the verses that are found in it, almost word for word. The only thing that they discovered differently, they used the word, different words for the word God. They used the word Lord that we see here translated in English, King James Bible. Over there, they're talking about Elohim versus another one that is referring to him as the creator. So they're exact same thing. Say, why is that important? Well, the way I look at it is, if God says one thing in the Bible, we should pay attention. If God pretty much repeats it again, we should take double notice of it. And then if you go to Romans chapter number 3, you look at verses 10 and probably through verse 18, it once again describes what you see here in this passage of Scripture. They're very similar. Many people speak as fools. And fool is often used for as a word that describes a wicked or a depraved person, one who acts contrary to sound wisdom and his moral deportment, one who follows his own inclinations. Now, you know, the fool has said, you know, fools are many times bold. You know, you wouldn't know that they were foolish until they opened up their mouth. And many times they are bold in what they say, and we are able to identify them and understand that they have made themselves fools in the sight of God. And so in God's word, he describes some different types of fools. First thing I want you to see is these four types of fools, and it's found on your outline, is fools say, no God. Fools say there is no God. And we see this in verse number 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And to be honest with you, the atheists of today have attacked the religion in general, in Christianity in particular. Now, many times, if you go and listen to what they would consider the leaders of the atheist movement, they would tell you to mock Christianity, to be bold against it, to say horrible things about it. And how can people who be so angry with God if they don't even believe in his existence? If I thought somebody else believed in something, I would pray for them, but I wouldn't mock them. I wouldn't be angry with their God just because of the fact that, you know, they're foolish in what they follow after. In 2003, two of the leaders of the atheist movement decided that the atheist needed to be a less offensive name, and they chose the name Bright. And that's where you see in New York Times in 2003, it says the Brights were defined by them as those who held a naturalistic worldview. And they said they were free of supernatural and mystical elements. And here it is that there are certain people in this world, and the Bible describes in 2 Timothy 3:7, they're ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of truth. There are people who continue on learning unwise, unwicked things, and they guess never able to come to the simple knowledge of the fact that we are all sinners and that we all need a Savior. If we just look at ourselves and look at creation, what creation tells us and what our conscience tells us, we are in need of a Savior because we are all wicked. To be honest with you, if we were honest with ourselves, we have a fleshly side, and that fleshly side and that fleshly spirit is one that shows us that we are sinners. Christ came and showed us what a person was supposed to live like, but we ourselves can see that we are no good. Next thing, fools live only for this world. And like I said, we're going to look at four different types of fools this morning. The first fool we saw is a person who is an atheist, a person who boldly claims that they believe that there is no God. And the second type of fool, this is a parable that's given. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool. Once again, he's calling this man a fool. Why is he calling him a fool? Because he was rich? No. Because he was plentiful? No, God is the one that was able to allow him to have that harvest. It wasn't that fact, but the fact was that he was making decisions based off his own reasoning instead of what God would say, and he was living for this world only. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be? And when we choose to live for this world only and not live for the things of God, we are being foolish. And he says, which thou hast provided. You know, he said, God's word is teaching us that the man who lives only for this life thinks nothing of the world to come. And this is a foolish man, according to the Bible. He makes no internal investment. And he does not trust Christ with his soul. Anyone who does not do that, the Bible says, is foolish. He may be well respected in the community. He may be well known. He may be well liked. He may be well whatever. But you know what? People might come mourn at his funeral. But if he chooses not to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and consider what happens after this world, the Bible says he is a fool. He may be a prominent figure. People might come mourn at his funeral. But if a man, though how successful he is in this world, lives and dies without Christ, the Bible says he is a fool. Now, this isn't me. The Bible's saying he's a fool. And I would agree with the Bible. We've heard about a movie star that died this past week, Robin Williams, and everybody is mourning him. But the Bible says if he lived and died, doesn't matter how much success he had on this earth, if he dies without Christ, he is a fool. And we need to understand that. We cannot be listening to people who are living for this world only. We have a different set of guidelines according to the Bible of what we're looking to. We're not looking at the circumstances. Instead, we're looking forward to eternity, the short 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years we may have in this world. They're just temporal. And if we're going to live for just here and now, you know what it's going to be? We're going to be foolish. Mr. Chambers, can you pull the air down just a little bit? A lot of people are fanning themselves. I think it's a little warm. I know Mr. Shell's not hot, though. So next thing is, I was reading through this chapter this past week in my devotions, and the Bible says here also in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it puts it in a very clear way. He says, and I say unto you, my friends, And picture the way he's preaching this message. It actually talks about how they were all came, they had filled this place, and they were actually on top one another. That's how many people had came and listened. And in verses 4 and 5, he says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." You know, God's word is saying, do not be afraid of those that can kill your body, and after that can do no more. He says, "But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." You know, this is saying, who are we going to live our lives fearing? Are we going to live our lives here fearing about what someone else may say, fearing about what these people who don't even believe in a God, or people who say that all we have is this world and here and now and we need to live right now? No, the Bible says the person you're supposed to fear is not those that can harm your body, but the person that can take your body and your soul, which is only God. So fools are ones who live only in this world. Here's another thing I saw that the Bible says was a fool. Fools mock sin. Fools mock sin. And to be honest with you, obviously you cannot be a Christian and say there is no God. That's true. Secondly, you can be a Christian and live only for this world, and that means that you're living a foolish Christian life, and we must remember always be living for God. And next thing, fools mock sin. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock of sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Sin is hurtful. Sin seduces and saddens people. Sin wrecks lives. Sin ruins homes. It destroys families. Fools make a mock of it. Fools mock sin. And you know what? There are people today that just mock the things of Christianity, mock things that are holy. The word mock means to deride, to laugh at, to ridicule, to treat with scorn, to make sport in contempt or in jest. And I haven't watched too much what would be called a primetime TV in the day and times I live in. But I remember that back when I was out of God's will for my life, and I remember when maybe in the early 90s to the mid-90s when I was trying to figure things out in my life, that there used to be some TV shows that I watched. And even back then, that was almost 20 years ago, they would mock the things that we count as holy, things that are found in the Bible. They put preachers out there, and the preachers they put out there were not godly men, and they were not men that stood for right. They were men that were always known for living wickedly. They were men who would change how they felt, no matter depending on how their congregation saw. They would mock what would be considered a man that would want to be the head of the household, a man that would want to live for God. They would mock things of a woman that would be godly, a woman that would like to stay home and take care of their family. They would mock and laugh at things such as modesty, and they would lock and be cruel, those things that we call dear to us. I mean, the homosexual movement and those that are transgender and those that have anti-Bible type themes and views. They are some of the most hateful people in all the world. They want to teach tolerance, but you know who the only person they're not tolerant to many times is? To the Christian, what they believe. We don't have any right to believe what we choose to believe, but they should be able to force their views on the rest of the world. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but we need to be careful who we listen to. We need to be careful who we allow to determine how we are going to have our way of thinking. We need to be careful what we put in our eye gates and what we put in our ear gates. We need to be careful of how we allow our children to watch certain things that promotes things that are ungodly and that are wrong. Here, the Bible says that these people are fools. I mean, it's not me what I'm saying. And I'm careful in how I use the word fools. And when I tell a person that they're a fool, most times I'll say they're acting foolishly because I don't want to offend anybody. But on the authority of the Word of God, if a person is mocking sin and mocking something that is holy and right and living in a certain way and deriding it and just making sport, you know, the Bible calls them a fool. Think about how this world promotes drinking, dancing, even to the points where you hear them promoting through rap music, rapes and murders and just immorality all around us, just mocking Christ and Jesus. And these are people who mock sins. And the Bible says that these people are fools, and we must learn not to give them our lives and our hearts. Be careful what we listen to. Be careful what we watch. It's easy to get sucked into this world, and we need to be careful. There are so many different things I could choose from to kind of show this point, but there is a superstar rapper. I think his name's Kanye West. If I'm pronouncing Kane right, I'm not sure. He has a nickname, and his nickname is Yeezy, but he has chosen a nickname for one of his title albums called Yeezus. And the reason why is because he calls himself like the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is just completely different what the Christian faith is. He completely contrary and against it. He compares himself to Jesus Christ. And I saw a picture of him on the internet that had him with a crown of thorns on his head and, you know, tears and blood that was, and it says, the passion of Yeezy. And it's these people who mock things that are holy. We need to be careful what we, be very, very careful what we put in your ear gates and eye gates. And once again, the Bible says these people are foolish. These are not people that we should be listening to. These are not people that should be our close friends. These are people that need to be saved. These are people that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one little side note there, you know what? There are some Christians out there that make mock of sin too. We need to be careful not to make sure we don't do that. If it is sin, it's something that needs to be dealt with. Remember, what does sin do? Sin seduces and saddens people. Sin wrecks lives. It ruins homes, destroys families. And fools will make a mock of it. And I think even a Christian can make a mock of certain sins, thinking because maybe they don't have the same standard or they don't think the same way, they can mock the way someone else may live or choose to live. Next things, and this is one I think applies more than the others to Christians. The Bible says, fools are hearers only. Fools are hearers only. We see at the end of the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus finishes it with these, I guess, wonderful words. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So here's the thing. Jesus Christ is saying, look, there's foolish people and there's wise people. The wise person is likened unto a wise man, is a person who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. Those that would read the Bible, those that would hear the sayings of Jesus Christ, hear the word of God, and then apply them to their hearts and apply them to their lives, those are the ones that are wise. But who does God count as a foolish person? If you continue on, it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. And you know what? We've heard these sayings so often and so long. We've heard many times the truths of the Bible. We've heard correction. We've heard reproof. We've heard what we should be doing, whether it be soul winning, whether it be Bible reading, whether it be praying. But he says, if you heard these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he says, shall be likened unto a foolish man. We need to be careful that what we hear from God that we do. He says, which has built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And there are struggles, there are times, there are storms in our lives. But those that will stand the test of time and stand the storms of time are those who hears the word of God and doeth them. Those whose house will fall apart and is those that will hear the word of God and choose not to do them. Let's keep on going. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. We've seen that happen in many houses, haven't we? Not just physical homes, but in many families that we saw them just fall, and we saw them become torn apart and ripped apart. And here, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, and the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. For so long, the religious leaders in that day had become so hypocritical in their ways and in their thinking. They had no power in their speech, no power in their words. Jesus comes on the scenes and begins teaching them things about from the heart. He begins teaching them about loving the Lord with all their heart, not worrying about the things of this world, not worrying about the things that we can build up. Instead, he tells them to put the kingdom of God first. And it's very simple. Jesus is saying here, he says, I've been speaking to you. I've been teaching you these truths. These are vital. These are eternal. He says, if you obey them, you're wise. If you choose to hear and not obey, you're foolish. And I got to be honest with you, this has described me before in the past. And I think if we were all Christians and we were all honest with ourselves, we've all heard things that God speaks to our hearts about. And we just say, I hear it. I believe it. But I just can't do it. How many times have we heard the truths of the Word of God and have not been obedient to these truths? Think of the people who have never heard. Think of the people who don't know about the coming of the Lord or the truth of eternal life. How many people that don't know about the Word of God and godly living and winning souls? We are foolish when we are not willing to. We are foolish when we are not willing to obey the words of God. So I'm not trying to line you up with the atheists. I'm not trying to line you up with those that mock sins. I'm not trying to line you up with those other things that are just living for the world. But God says these four different types of people that do these four different types are foolish people. And I don't want to be a fool in God's eyes. I don't really care what the world may think of me and may think about what I say and do. But in God's eyes, I don't want to be considered foolish. The whole world might think that we're intelligent. The whole world may say, hey, there is a person that should be idolized. There is a person that should be looked up to. But if the Bible calls them foolish, we need to be careful who we allow to influence our lives. Let's go back to Psalm 53. There's four things I want you to see here. Four things I want you to see in this passage of Scripture. We need to move quickly on it. First thing is the atheism of a fool. The atheism of a fool. When a man says there is no God, this is atheism. And we're living in a day and time that people that think that they're very intelligent, because that we are living in a day when people say that the more intelligent you are, the less you are supposed to know for sure. They tell you, the intelligent people of the world today will tell you there is nothing becoming, there is nothing that is absolute, and you know what? There is nothing becoming or admirable about atheism. There is nothing intelligent about denying the existence of God. And when we come to this passage of Scripture in chapter 53, he says, the fool have said in their heart, there is no God. And here, look at what the Bible says. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Even the devils themselves, the demons, believe that there is a God. And they tremble and they look at Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And those that do not believe, even the devils know this. And this means that the atheists are even worse off than what the devils are, because they don't even recognize who God is. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, because of time, we won't go there. It speaks of conscience and it speaks of creation. Every human being, through the witness of conscience and of creation, knows that there is a God. Some people turn around, you'll hear this, and I'm basing this off of what I've heard on TV, but also what other people have told me. They say, well, I believe in science instead of the Bible. And I try to teach them that the Bible and science go hand in hand. They say, well, when I was young, I was simple-minded. They would say that I used the crutch of Christianity. But they say, now I know too much. I'm too intelligent. My mind is stressed. But according to what the Bible says, they are professing themselves wise, but they became fools. And that's what they are doing. They're saying that they're wise. They're saying they're too smart to be able to hold on to this crutch of the Bible and crutch of Christianity. And you'll hear people say that. But in all reality, that the Bible calls those people fools. Amen. Not only is it the atheism of fools, but we continue on the affections of a fool. Look at the rest of verse number 1. It says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now listen how the description is given there. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. You know, atheism, according to this verse, goes hand in hand with the abominable behavior that we are seeing broadcasted all over our land. In Romans chapter 1, we see that the men denying God, and God declares them fools, and then they proceed immediately into abominable type things. Their affections are turned to abominable things. Immorality is always preceded by idolatry. In our nations, we have removed the foundation for life, and the fixed moral standard is gone. No longer does the world say that we have an absolute. The world instead says what? You should do what you think is right. You should do how you feel. And this is where we see where it's going. And I know that this might seem foolish, but 50 years ago, homosexuality was something that people would not talk about, but now it's thrown in their face. Why? It's because that's how they feel. There is no moral absolute there. What's next? I mean, when those that is incest going to be okay because that's how a person feels? You say, Pastor, that's far-reaching. No, that's the way people feel. There are people in this world that think it's okay to be a pedophile. There are people in this world that believe it's okay to rape individuals. There's people in this world that think it's okay to kill individuals. There's people in this world that have these type of feelings because of their own nature. And the world says we are going to hell. The world tells us we're living better lives. You ever heard one of the politicians saying we're living in the greatest time? And he says we are a more enlightened age. We are climbing to the top. We are the most intelligent generation that has ever lived. This is where the evolution comes in and where it says we're evolving. We have more knowledge than any group of human beings that have ever existed. But at the same time, we witness what? Abominable behavior. Our world has reached an all-time low. You think about it. If we're living in the most intelligent, most enlightened age of humanity, why do we see such horrible, terrible immorality? Why do we see that people cannot control themselves? Why do we see people, when there was a problem and someone gets shot, that they go and they destroy and they loot stores in a protest? Why is that? How is that going to help anything? We've become enlightened in what the world says. The intelligent people of the world say that they are just doing what they feel like. I don't know about you, but people sometimes can act like animals. And you know what? When people look at that, the doctors today say they're just acting naturally. Atheism does not build strong lives. Atheism does not make a nation stronger. Because the affection of a fool is for abominable things. Now, here's the thought here. Is are we getting better? Is America getting better? We're more enlightened. We're going down this pathway. And as we go down this pathway, do we see the world and the nation getting better? I don't know what front we see that our country is getting stronger or getting better in. If anything, it's becoming more and more anti-God and more wicked, and we're becoming a nation of fools. Now, let's keep on going here. Verses 2 through 4, you look at the actions of a fool. And I want you to take note where it says that they eat God's people up as they eat bread in verse number 4. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. You know, this is the particular direction that the actions of a fool take. He begins by saying, I don't believe there is a God. Then it gives themselves over to abominable type things. And then we see that they begin lashing out against the people of God. I see in verse number 4, he says, who eat up my people as they eat bread. You know, there are people out there today that attack Bible-believing Christians. You would think that people who say there is no God could care less what God's people would say. But you see the contrary difference. If you go and you look online, as I've done a little bit this week, they tell you to attack, these atheists tell you to attack Christianity, attack the biblical Christianity, attack the fact that this was a Christian nation that was built upon Christian principles. Try to rewrite history, do all those things, because now we're more enlightened. It's just untrue, it's just wrong. And this is the actions of a fool. And then also, we see the answer of God, the answer from God. Now, how is God going to deal with this? Look what it says in verse 5 and 6. There were they in great fear, where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel will be glad. How does God answer the fool? The fool has gone talking on for thousands and thousands of years. Back in the Bible times, David writes this. He writes it two different times, chapter 14, chapter 53, because this is important. He's saying that there are foolish people out there, but God will deal with them. It seems as though they have not been answered. Why would God allow all these things to happen? And there is coming a day. I like this at verse number 6. And once again, there is a lot of truths in these passages that we're not bringing out. But to help us understand, oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. Some people say God's done with Israel. But I don't see how he's saying that. When you read, when God bringeth the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. You know, I don't get all that saying there, but I know that who came out of Zion and who is referring to Jerusalem and talking about how Jesus Christ came as he was born in Bethlehem and came and died for our sins. And this is the salvation that we have. And we know that we will rejoice someday in the fact that God has done all these things for us. Now, you say, it still seems like the atheists are winning, or it seems like those that are anti-God are the ones that we all hear about. And it's the truth. That is who we hear the most about. But don't become discouraged. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. You know, this is what we will rejoice in when we are use the word vindicated, or when we see the truth, when we are at the end times, when you see those that are anti-God, those who mock God, those who say the passion of themselves, and they call themselves God, they begin their own religions, those that are humanistic and they look at themselves as God, or those who says that there is no God, you know what? Those same people, according to what the Bible says, will bow their knee. I believe that everyone will bow the knee, including Satan himself. So, why we have a lesson like this? Well, first of all, it's written in the Bible. Not only is it written once, it's written a couple times. But also to help us understand what a fool is. You know, I don't like to be called a fool. I don't like to do foolish things. I like to be a person who reasons things out and does things correctly. Am I always that way? No. Sometimes I make mistakes, especially when there's things I do not know that much about. But the Bible says that there are foolish people in this world. And what worries me, what scares me as believers or those interested in serving God, is that we allow those who are foolish to help influence us in our lives. We need to be careful who we allow to influence us. Think about, first of all, we should not let someone who says, I believe there is no God, have an influence in our lives. Those are the persons that we need to pray for and see their salvation. Also, a person who is living only for this world cannot give you good advice. The person who is living for this world cannot give you good advice on how you're supposed to live your life, because we're not supposed to be storing up treasures in this world. The Bible says we're supposed to be storing up treasures in heaven. Another thing is a person who mocks sin, a person who does not see sin as something that needs to be dealt with, but instead laughs at it and mocks at it, someone who's not grieved over it, is not a person that we need to be taking advice from. And last but not least, even Christians that are hearers of the words and not doers of the words, those are ones that we should not be taking advice from. I know that I'll finish with this little story. We go back to the story of David and Goliath. David is brought before Saul. Saul did not want to fight the battle. None of the men wanted to fight the battle with Goliath. And they bring David out, this young man who is on fire for God and does not want anybody to say anything bad about his God. He goes to fight against Goliath. He says, I'm willing to fight the Goliath. And Saul begins to give him advice. He didn't need to listen to Saul at that point in time. Saul tried to tell him, look, take this armor. Take this and take that. Do this, do that. You know, we need to be careful who we get our advice from. We need to be careful according to the way that they are willing to live and see how they live and be willing to take the advice from a person who is not considered a fool by the Bible. Now remember, Brother Burke will be preaching next week. He's our missionary. I think it's to Malaysia. We have a little girl named Malaysia. Okay, it's Malaysia. And I know you're going to enjoy that, and he'll be preaching next Sunday night too. So remember, you be here for Sunday school class. I think you'll enjoy him. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful for today. God, in your word, you tell us there are certain groups of people that are foolish, that are fools. Lord, help us not to be one of those people. Help us to be a person that lives for the eternity instead of living for temporal. Help us to be a person that not only hears the word, but does the word. Help us to also take heart what is sin and not mock at it, not laugh at it, not allow it to continue on in our lives. Lord, help us to pray for those that believe there is no God. Lord, these people need to be reached. They need to be reached with the gospel. I'm thankful for that I know and I've heard, Lord, from other people telling me. And I know creation, Lord, and your conscience shows that there is a God. But Lord, also you've given us a commission to go out and tell the world that there is a God that loves them and a God that died for them. In Jesus' name, amen.